Hi guys, before we get into this show, this is a quick message to say that this podcast is sponsored by Ant Podcast Management. That's our own company. Ant stands for Amy Nick Thompson. If you or your company want to start a professional podcast or need help running an existing one, then we have got you covered. We can simply provide an editing service or go all the way up to full podcast management. Visit ant-podcastmanagement.com for more information. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is Series 4, Episode 12, and this one is all about how your country is dealing with the pandemic.
Hi guys, thanks for joining us again for what is the last episode of Series 4. Wow, we've made it to the end of Series 4. And this one, yeah, is in response to what's going on around the world. Obviously, coronavirus. We don't want to saturate the media. It's, you know, if you want to watch coronavirus news, you can just turn on your TV. We don't need to hear more about that. This is more about hearing from you guys, our listeners, around the world, to know how people are feeling and how they're dealing with the pandemic themselves, but also how are countries around the world dealing with it? Because I'm sure we all know how our own countries are doing. But this is a great opportunity to hear from people in their own words about what's going on in their country.
So how has COVID-19 affected us? Well, we had just got home from traveling. I mean, a lot of people have said to us that we're lucky that we got home just in time, and I agree with them. I think it's a very difficult time to be stuck in another country where you can't be earning money necessarily. That would just have been quite a bad situation. So we had got home. Nick had got a full-time job. We were in a new apartment and we were safe. So in regards to that, we couldn't have been in a better situation. 3 months down the line, Nick is still working his job, but the pandemic hits and you lost your job.
Yeah, and it all happened really quickly. So I was working in the travel industry, in business travel. So, you know, one of, if not the worst industry to be affected, travel and tourism. Of course, the company wasn't making any money because no one was traveling. So I actually got a phone call. It was in March. And I was told that, you know, we're really sorry, Nick, but we're letting everyone go who's been with the company for less than 6 months. You know, it was nothing that I'd done wrong. They just, you know, the company was hit so bad, they had to save money quickly. So I'd lost my job and we haven't even started lockdown yet. I'd lost my job and income. And we're thinking, like, what are we going to do? Fortunately, then the government, the UK government, announced a scheme called furlough, which is the government will pay companies so then the companies can pay their staff while we're all in lockdown. So the company actually brought me back and then just put me on furlough, which means I can just be at home, not working, but I still get 80% of my salary. Lifesaver, right?
It really has been. So that means that we can pay our rent and our bills and feed ourselves without worrying, because we'd only been home for like a few months, so I hadn't got a full-time job because I was trying to decide whether I was going to do freelance. I was already working a little bit myself because some of you will know if you followed our trip that we've just done around the world. We were traveling for a year and 2 months and we spent some time while traveling kind of building up a small business of editing other people's podcasts, but it was only a small bit of money that was coming in. It wasn't something that could replace a salary, for example. So my job when I came home was to either get a job or to build up that into a proper business so it would be sufficient as a salary. So at this point, I'm kind of building up a business and Nick has lost his job and is now on furlough. So it could have been a disaster scenario where we were just relying on the money that I was bringing in with the editing business. But we're very lucky. We remained positive. As soon as Nick got that call, the first thing we did was put on our shoes and we went for a walk, because we're allowed to in our country at that point. We walked around our park and we just talked and talked and talked and said, you know, we need to work out what we're going to do now to survive. And it was a really empowering conversation, wasn't it? It was really positive and we felt great after. And we were like, even though you've just lost your job. And at this point, remembering we didn't think that Nick was going to get furlough. We didn't think we were having any money coming in apart from the editing business. So long story short, after that, we got the furlough and we've built the business, and it's actually going really well. I'm really happy to say we've been working on it basically 24 hours a day, both of us together, and it's going really well. So we're in a very fortunate situation, and we are very aware of that when we are talking to our friends around the world and what situation they're in, which you will hear about today.
Yeah, but I just want to touch on that quickly. Like Amy's saying, we just kind of realized what a great opportunity we've got, where I'm going to be earning a wage, like it's coming from the government, and it's great that our government are in a position where they can do it. I'm earning a wage, and now I have time to work with Amy and actually build this business up. It's such a rare, strange scenario we're in. People are at home, we have time, and the majority of people are still getting an income. I know there's going to be stories of people who have lost their jobs and they haven't got an income, and it's going to be really tough. So it would have been stupid of us just to sit around doing nothing, watching TV all day. So we've been working very hard together, working to build this business up, so in the future, it can be both our proper jobs. So we're fine. Like, there's no sympathy needed for us. Absolutely not. We're in a strangely good position. Just talk about the lockdown in the UK briefly. We were in a phase where you were only allowed out if you wanted to do one bit of exercise or go to the supermarket, you know, to buy food. That's changed now till you can go out as much as you want for exercise, and you're allowed to mix with one person from another household as long as you stay 2 meters apart from each other. And to be honest, we've seen a lot of people aren't really sticking to the rules. It's not a completely strict lockdown. We've treated it as strict. We've been away from everyone. We haven't seen family or friends for a long time. But now the weather's starting to get nice, a lot of people are going to the beach, aren't they?
Yes, that's quite big in the news over the last few days. And just yesterday, we were coming back from the supermarket and we saw a very large group of men, or mostly men and some women, just a couple of streets down to us having a street party outside. And there was no social distancing whatsoever. So, you know, it can get you down when, I mean, that made me angry, to be honest, because we've locked ourselves away for months and I'm trying to keep everybody else safe, even though I know for sure I don't have it. I've been in lockdown for nearly 3 months now. I have asthma, so I really do believe that if I got it, I would have symptoms and I would be very ill. I'm like 99% sure I don't have it, and I'm still staying away from other people to keep them safe. But when you see a group of lads together, it's annoying, isn't it? It's affecting our lives and it's affecting everyone else's. We're going to be in lockdown for longer because of that. But I don't want this episode to get us down. We're all having conversations like this, so why would you tune in and listen to us? You are tuning in to listen to amazing people around the world that we know personally through our travels, and just hearing about how they're dealing with it as well.
Yeah, so we're going to get onto that. First of all, just to finish our chat about the UK, it is the most affected, like worstly affected country in Europe, not the most affected country in the world, but we are now the most affected in Europe. Unfortunately, we have the highest numbers, but the health system's coping, they're managing with it. And to thank the health system and all people that are still going to work because they have to, this is what can be heard around the country every Thursday night.
Now let's hear from some different countries around the world. Firstly, we want to let you know that all of these recordings were recorded last month in April, and we're going to start with Sergio in Bolivia.
Right now, since Bolivia is not well prepared to have a really large number of people infected, our health system is not the best in Latin America. That's why the government has decided to put us in total quarantine. We can only go walking to buy some groceries, go to the supermarket, go to the pharmacy or for a medical emergency. But we understand the situation, and we know if we don't have a total quarantine here, number of cases will be like massive, and we understand as Bolivians that this was the best decision that the government has taken until now. Right now we have around 115 cases, confirmed cases in Bolivia with the virus, and we already have 7 deaths, so we have one of the highest death rates in the world. I think we are fourth or fifth in the world. That gives us the idea that we are not prepared. We only have around 22 ventilators in all the country compared to the hundreds or thousands of ventilators that countries in Europe or the US have, that's really kind of scary. That makes us stay at home. Second of all, it's been a really, really big economical impact here, because Bolivia is one of the poorest countries in South America, and more than 70% of the people working here have informal jobs. That means they sell, I don't know, food, they sell clothes, they sell stuff in the street. They don't get a regular income. So that's been a big economical impact for them, because right now they're not working. So the government has decided to give them some extra money this month. The good side of the situation we're living now is that since we are staying home, families are getting reunited, are sharing more time. But the most important positive thing I've seen these days here in Bolivia is that people are giving support to other people that are in need. For example, right now in Bolivia, only people from 18 to 65 years old can go out. So our older people are staying at home. I've seen a lot of solidarity between neighborhoods, people like going, asking them if they need some help with the groceries, with some medicine, and taking food to their houses. We are calling them, and calling even more my grandmother to make sure she's okay, she's fine, she doesn't need anything else. So that's been the positive side. It has reunited families, it has connected our society, in our neighborhoods, our cities. So I think after all of this ends, we're going to have, let's hope, a better society. And as I heard somebody said the other day, our grandparents had to go to the war. Our parents had to deal with dictatorships, with big economical recessions and stuff. And our generation, we're living a new situation, but we only have to stay home. So let's hope people, especially young people, understand that. And nothing is eternal, so this is going to end someday. So let's keep positive.
Thank you, Sergio. Really good attitude from him. Let's keep positive. And he's right. All we need to do is stay at home, which is not really too bad compared to some of our generations before. And Bolivia, to me, there's a reason. Well, he told us why, you know, the lockdown is more strict there, but it's because the government are worried. If it breaks out in a country like Bolivia, you know, a poor country, it would be massive. So hopefully those guys are doing everything they can to avoid a big national disaster. Now, let's temporarily leave South America and go to Asia. Paddy from The Budgeteers has some interesting info about how Thailand are dealing with the pandemic.
Right now, I don't see any positives because, yeah, we just need to get this under control around the world, I should say, because here in Thailand, it is under control. Touch wood, things haven't spiraled out of control. As it stands right now, 2,600 people or so have been put in hospital, and only 46 people have sadly died from the virus, which is a tiny, tiny number compared to the huge population we have here. And I think the interesting thing to tell you is that the culture here in Thailand helped prevent that spread, because social distancing is basically the culture here way before the infection came, because we're not hugging and kissing each other and holding hands in public and when we greet our friends, like, you know, a lot of people do in the European countries and places like that, where the disease had so many opportunities to cross-contaminate. But here we stand apart from each other, and we why, which is when we bow our heads and we put our hands together, and we don't do public signs of affection or anything like that. Also, we all wear masks. In February, March and April, we have a pollution problem. There's a lot of forest fires. And so when you go outside, you have to wear a mask. Otherwise, you get a sore throat and you can get like bronchitis, because it's really bad this time of year. So the disease really didn't have much opportunity to spread. It only spread because of foreign nationals who had the disease going to places like the boxing arenas and being on a crammed minivan. There was a lot of small clusters of infection, but it did not spread around the entire country, thankfully, too much. Hopefully we're nearly towards the end of this, and we can start thinking more about life and how precious it is, and then coming together as a race of people, you know? I think it's going to be, hopefully, only a positive outcome in the future.
Thanks to Paddy there. It's really interesting what he brought up about the culture difference and the non-contact within the Asian culture and other cultures around the world. And it's protecting them from the pandemic and from it getting worse. So yeah, really interesting point there. Now it's time for two more South American countries.
This is Karim Maida here from Colombia. I honestly try not to watch or read news because I don't believe that much about all what they said. However, this circumstance has been challenging for everyone. And in general, in Colombia, I know how unfortunate is this situation. For a considerable amount of Latin American families, the financial condition depends on the street sales. So not only not be able to leave their house, but also do not have people on the street to sell something is very demanding. In my case, I'm working doing art and fashion events, and because of the lockdown and the quarantine, all the events we were working on has been postponed. So my industry is affected tremendously. During the last weeks, the quarantine regulation has been changing and getting more strict. I could leave my house on certain days, but I honestly try hard not to do this. I'm taking it with calm, but very serious. Plus, I just came back from backpacking some part of Africa and Middle East, so I'm tranquil at home right now and enjoying my recent memories. Don't get me wrong, it's been hard. It's the first time, I think, after more than 10 years that I don't have an air ticket waiting on my email and I cannot make any plan yet. But I believe, or I want to believe, that the way that me and other people travel after this period of time is going to be more, people will take more precautions. And as a traveler, I always invite people to travel the world. But there is always a way to make it better, taking more care of our planet and the place that we're visiting. And after all of this, I really, really hope that people understand how important it is to take care of each other as well. I am appreciating more my time at home, my abilities in the kitchen, for instance, enjoying more having good and positive conversations with my friends. And even I cannot wait to go out and have a party until the sunrise, but I think we start appreciating more what we already have, but we didn't have time to notice it.
Hello everybody, I'm Joaquin from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Here in Argentina, we have been in a strict quarantine for 1 month now. We can leave the house for some justified reasons, like, you know, taking care of someone who needs it, buying food, but we are not able for going for a run, for example, like other countries I know they can. The first weeks people were taking it seriously, but I think that people are starting to get tired about this and now more people are on the streets. Since last week, if you go out, you had to do it with a face mask, and I think that they are going to make the quarantine a little bit longer. I think that the consequences economically for a country like Argentina are going to be devastating, as we were bad already and this situation just makes the things worse, you know. Luckily, we are not having the hospitals collapse for now like they were in Italy or Spain, so that's the positive part of the quarantine, so I think it's taking the effect that they wanted. I think that after the COVID, we will enjoy being free more. I hope everyone starts being nicer to each other, to understand that we are all on the same team. I hope we stop being so selfish and start appreciating what being with the other one is just the best thing that you can. I don't know if that is going to happen, but I really hope so.
Economy is a big message to take from the clips we just heard there. Of course, it's more important that, you know, we're there for each other and, you know, money isn't everything. But without an economy, then you can't have hospitals and schools and things like that. Particularly what does relate to that would be the people who are the informal workers. You have this all over the world, but a lot in South America. The people that are on the street working, selling things. It's not a proper job. They don't get a proper salary. They're the people that are going to be hit hardest. They already come from poor backgrounds anyway. And suddenly, they've got no customers. No one's allowed on the street. Very, very tough for those people.
Hi, Nick and Amy. Adele here. I'm a South African living in London with my boyfriend, Adrian, who's also South African.
Although Adele lives in the UK, she has friends and family still living in South Africa. So she can fill us in on what's been happening over there.
South Africa is also under lockdown. The lockdown started on the 27th of March for 3 weeks initially and was recently extended to the 9th of May. I doubt though that it will end there. The lockdown there is actually a lot stricter than it is in the UK. People are only allowed to work if they provide an essential service or if the work they do appear on an approved government list. That comes with a few challenges, though. Firstly, a lot of South Africans are very entrepreneurial. Many run their own businesses and employ several people. These companies are really struggling as most of them operate on a month-to-month basis and the government does not support them a lot. Secondly, South Africa has a very high unemployment rate prior to this crisis. On average, 30% of the population is unemployed and they were destitute already. So the situation is just adding to that. Under the lockdown, they are actually facing similar issues to us. In supermarkets, it's hard to find pasta as well as toilet paper. I reckon that that's a global issue faced by many. And people have noted that some items are more expensive now prior than to the lockdown. It seems like people are trying to profiteer out of the situation, which is really not cool. The government has also banned the selling of cigarettes and alcohol during the lockdown. That did not go down well. As they said, it provided a reason for people to go out more. Now there are reports in the supermarkets that they're actually running low on fresh fruit and yeast as people have started brewing their own booze. I think that's quite ingenious of them. A lot of South Africans are fortunate enough to live in big houses with gardens and swimming pools and all the luxuries that come with that. But a large portion of South Africans live in townships in makeshift dwellings. A house can be the size of a standard bedroom with multiple people living in it. Some of them won't have electricity or running water. I think being in lockdown in a situation like that must be awful. These areas are very popular, so it's quite dangerous being in a situation like that during a pandemic. I've recently noticed a lot about this on social media and had quite a few messages coming through on WhatsApp. So maybe one thing that the crisis is teaching us to be much more grateful for what we have and to count our blessings and also have compassion for those that are less fortunate than us. For now, there are not as many corona cases as here in the UK. There's currently about 2,500 confirmed cases and only 34 deaths recorded. I think these numbers are quite low and it's probably due to the lack of testing. They are predicting that the peak will only be reached by September, so I'm really hopeful by that time they have already found a cure or a vaccine. I hope this gives you a bit of insight in the situation there. And when this is over, everyone should definitely add South Africa to their bucket list. It's an awesome place to travel to.
Now, as Adele says there, in South Africa, you can't buy tobacco products or alcohol, so people are starting to make it themselves. And as she says, it's ingenious in her opinion. And I agree. I think what a way to A, spend your time and B, be able to enjoy some of that time with your family and who you live with. I agree with it. I think that's quite a good idea, to be honest.
I don't see the problem with buying cigarettes and alcohol. They're saying it's a reason to not go out. But if you're drinking at home, I don't see anything wrong with that. So I'm surprised the government have taken that approach. They reckon they've got their reasons, but I am surprised.
Now let's head down under to see how the Aussies are handling things.
Hey guys, I'm Charlie and I run a travel YouTube channel called Pocket Trailblazer. So I'm originally from the UK, but I recently emigrated to Australia to live with my husband. I actually flew in literally a few months ago, a couple of days before all the lockdowns started to get put in place. In Australia, the rules are pretty similar to the UK lockdown-wise. You're only allowed to go out for your hour of exercise or to go to the shops to get essential things. One difference we have here, though, is that at the moment, you don't have to queue for the supermarket because there's not really that much demand, especially I'm out in the countryside, so there's definitely not that sort of demand. Now, I'm actually based in South Australia, and they seem to be dealing with this extremely well. The figures are much, much lower than anywhere in Europe, for example. And I think the key that they seem to be focusing on at the moment is definitely testing. I listened to a broadcast from the Prime Minister yesterday, and they said that they've actually just got a new system in place where they can test people and know the results within under an hour, which is crucial, especially for testing key workers, for example. But the one thing that we have in Australia that I guess there's an abundance of is space. So it has spread considerably slower than other places because the space between people, it just instinctively, we just have a lot more of it, if that makes sense. I definitely think there's going to be some positives that come out of this, because I think the entire world has just got quite materialistic and maybe a little bit entitled. We just always think that we can travel anywhere and do anything we want. And then this came along and stopped us in our tracks. And I think everyone is going to just be considerably more grateful for what they have. I mean, I've always been very grateful for any travel I get to do. I'm so acutely aware of that. But I feel like now I'm going to be grateful for the smaller things as well, like just being able to hang out with your friends and have a drink, or just going to the cinema. So I think that this whole event has basically given everyone the chance to hit the reset button on what our priorities are in life.
Good point there from Charlie. Australia, there's not many people live there, and it is a huge country. That's why I worry that, and I hope this doesn't happen in places like India, where cities are so densely populated. If it spread there, it could be a disaster. But yeah, that's obviously a way that Australia are not doing too badly, and that would be one of the reasons why. Now let's go direct to a world wonder in the Middle East, an Arabic country that doesn't have a vast amount of oil money to rely on and depends heavily on tourism.
Those are the sounds of air raid sirens to mark the beginning of a mandatory curfew in Jordan.
Hello everyone, Injad here from Jordan, Petra. Well, in Jordan, COVID-19 preventive measures started early on the 24th of February by stopping all the flights who came from China, South Korea and Iran. On the 2nd of March, Jordan had the first corona case who came from Italy, unfortunately. Then later on the 17th of March, Jordanian citizens were evacuated from the affected countries for free, and 60 other planes landed in a 24-hour. All of the passengers were isolated in 5-star hotels for 14 days for free. The government activated the National Defense Law, which stopped all the flights and closed the borders, schools, mosques, churches, tourism destinations, and retail. The military and police have locked down all of the cities. In the next day, an online education system was activated already. Well, then later, the government allowed the citizens to go out on foot to buy basic things only from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. Later, they allowed for the cars, except the weekends, kind of. Well, now, on the 28th of April, there is 449 confirmed cases in the kingdom and 342 recovered cases, and we have been lost 7 dear citizens. Well, during the crisis, even though Jordan has millions of refugees, tens of thousands of tests were made, most of it was for free. Loan payments to banks have been delayed for months. Free food was given for poor families, and employees have been given paid vacations to stay at home. Well, some business owners have actually supported the government with hundreds of millions of dinars. And actually, I have been personally so impressed by the cooperation between the government and the people here.
Thanks to Injad from Jordan there. And I think the takeaway there is how quickly Jordan got to work. So they realized it could turn into a pandemic and they gave free quarantine. And I think it's also lovely that they're giving out free dinners to poor people and people who are in need. It just reiterates why we're making this episode. Every country is doing things differently and it's interesting.
Finally, let's head to the USA, the most affected country. Just because it's the largest economy in the world doesn't mean it's invincible. Far from it. I guess the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And this will have a negative effect on the whole world because the US economy is so important. Some news outlets predict that the USA economy won't recover until late 2021. And again, as things stand, around 1 in 6 Americans have lost their job. This is a big deal in a country with good but expensive healthcare.
What's up, guys? My name's Mark. I live in the US. About a month ago, I was living in LA, and then I made my way to South Carolina, where my family owns a restaurant. So apparently, I got out of LA at the right time. But here in South Carolina, where my parents' restaurant is, the governor, about a week ago, basically said all dining rooms have to close. So we're still able to do takeout, and we're still open our normal hours 5 days a week. So in terms of our workflow, it hasn't changed too much because I'm still working 5 days a week. I do know a lot of our front of house staff, like our servers, our bussers, our food runners, and our hosts. Basically, most people in that industry throughout the United States have been temporarily laid off because dining rooms in most states are closed. I do know that some of my friends in LA have been saying that it's way more restrictive out there. My friends in New York are saying that it's also pretty restrictive out there, but like dining rooms, people are still able to get food. And my sister's girlfriend is a teacher in Florida, and essentially now she has to switch to online teaching. So at least like between New York, LA, Florida, and South Carolina, those are like the major updates. And we're not on like hardcore quarantine where you can't leave your house for anything, but it's pretty restrictive. And they really only say to go outside if you need to get food at a grocery store or takeout from a restaurant or medical supplies. And that's a vibe through like most of the states here in the US. So in LA, I was working at a production company, which that industry, along with a lot of others, are taking a hit. So most of my friends who still work at that company, their productions are closed, so they're temporarily laid off. But in South Carolina, where my parents' restaurant is, we've had so much support from the community of people that as they're coming in, they're just so happy that we're open. And honestly, we're just so happy that we're able to still feed people. And, you know, people that are buying a $20 pizza are tipping us $20 on that pizza. And over again, I can't even tell you how many times I've heard people say, we want to support our local businesses. I would say most kids, like students, are out of school because schools are closed. So then parents are having to figure out what to do with their kids. And the media is constantly shining a light on numbers. And as they're increasing, that, yeah, there's definitely a vibe of panic and anxiety. I think most of it's justified. But I also understand people who have lost income and people with children. I understand that that would cause more anxiety. Whereas me, like, I don't have kids. I'm currently living with my parents. So I understand how that could be very real for some people. And I feel really blessed that that's not something that is a major concern for me personally. Beyond a general pan, I mean, some people are like not stepping outside at all, but I haven't encountered too many people like on that level. Even at the grocery store the other day at Trader Joe's, they had a whole system of like only letting 40 people in at a time, and they were wiping down all the shopping carts. Like, they really had a nice system. And we, you know, we had a queue up outside to get into the grocery store. And even me and my parents were like, nobody's pissed off. Like, nobody's stomping their feet. At least like in that vibe, like people were super patient and understanding, and almost like they were willing to wait because of the extra steps to ensure, you know, safety and cleanliness for people. And I personally encountered more people who are facing this and trying to be more positive. So I've seen good things come out of humanity from this, as opposed to more bad things.
I think we're going to have to agree with Mark there that we are very glad that we don't have kids right now. You know, that adds so much extra responsibility in a time like this. I mean, normally they're extra responsibilities anyway, but yeah, it's all about counting your blessings. And like we said at the start of this episode, you know, bad things have happened to us. Nick has lost his job, but it's not all doom and gloom. As well as all the positive thoughts from our guest today and the claps for the health workers and the other key workers around the world, this pandemic is bringing out the best of the human race.
Italy has shown the world how it's done. These are the sounds coming from balconies all over the country.
Some people in Italy are also managing to play tennis with their neighbours in high-rise flats out of their windows.
In Spain, it turns out they have some very talented police who patrol the streets of Mallorca, entertaining the locals.
And finally, even the elderly and vulnerable are stepping up and doing their part to fight coronavirus.
He set out with the modest goal to raise £1,000, but 11 days later, Captain Tom Moore is a national hero.
Never ever did we anticipate, nor was it the idea that we would get this sort of money.
This is Australia's Nine News reporting on a 99-year-old British military veteran.
By finishing 100 laps of his front garden in the English countryside, he's now earning millions in donations every day.
It goes up and up and up and up, and it's still going up.
So Captain Tom Moore raised £12 million and he wanted to raise 1,000. That's such an incredible story. And I think it's the most positive and best reported story here in the UK.
Yeah, it's been the biggest story here. And it shows what can happen. It's gone way over 12 million now. It's amazing how much he's raised. It shows what's possible with the internet. It's amazing.
Again, we want to reiterate that we are recording this in May and the interviews from our guests in this episode were recorded in April. Who knows what has happened by the time this comes out and you are listening to it?
Yeah, hopefully everything is starting to calm down and we're going back to some sort of normality, whatever that's going to look like. And next time we see friends and family or we're able to travel, it's going to be an amazing experience. We're going to appreciate it so much more. But there is a lot of positivity out there, guys. And one thing I take comfort in is that we're all in this together. It's not just one country suffering. Everyone's in this together. And I'm sure there'll be a positive outcome for the world.
So next time you are feeling down or negative about COVID-19, we just want you to sit down and have a think about how you're being protected by your government, what rules have been put in place, and the positives that you have found through this pandemic.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website at www.whatthefoetravelpodcast.com. This podcast was sponsored by Ant Podcast Management. For help getting your professional podcast up and running, visit ant-podcastmanagement.com.